Hello, it's Richard Lewis here with another video, and I bet that title made you click. So, you'll say clickbait. I'd like to explain to you what clickbait is. This video will be long enough without that, but if you think a title that makes you want to click is clickbait, you're a moron, you don't know what clickbait is. And also, as well, this is just a good way to root out the people who watch a video or just look at the title and then make some assessments. So you'll probably see some idiots, provided this gets to Reddit, saying things like, "Oh, well, how dare he be against him? Like, Richard Lewis has never made mistakes. I suppose he should be banned for life for what happened to DreamHack." Yeah. You'll see these guys and you know immediately they've not watched the video, because I've seen the free swag movement. I've seen the hashtag. I know all the people who want him unbanned. I too want him unbanned. But that doesn't mean the movement isn't absurd, which it is. And it's absurd because it's riddled with hypocrisies and inconsistencies. I think, like everybody else, right? Swag is a ridiculously talented player who hasn't had the really unfortunate situation come up where he was affiliated with some people who thought a bad thing would be a good idea, and he went along with it, and he's paying consequences that seem really disproportionate. But when I see hashtag free swag, I gotta say, what about the other guys? What about all the other people? Are we not gonna say hashtag free, steel dazed? And I think it's very bizarre indeed. But let's just start why this movement's kind of like reared up again for the bazillionth time. So we just had the CS summit, right? And interesting event. I think it shows the community again. Fuck me, they love to circle jerk, right? It goes from day one, "This is a terrible event, how dare they, there's all these delays," running a Counter-Strike event in a house, as Take TV found out, can be problematic. It comes with its own set of challenges. Then it goes to, by the end of the event, "This is the best event I've ever seen. I'm having so much fun. They should run a major." If you want a Counter-Strike major to be a bunch of dudes in a living room, I think you've kind of been missing what's happened the last fucking 3 years in Counter-Strike, but anyway, the summit had their event. It went particularly well. And at it, because it wasn't a official Valve-funded, sanctioned, whatever word you want to use, event, Swag was able to play. Now, we know Cloud9 have been having some problems lately. They've not been firing on all cylinders, and so they decided to bring Swag into the equation. And he played really well, which will come as no surprise to anybody who knows the level of talent this kid has. Okay, so let's just take a look. Now, these are the stats from that particular event. You can see here, he got off to a pretty unspectacular start, but didn't really have to do anything. His team were in control in that first map against Optic. And then he started warming up. And pretty much from this point onward, he drops 20 frags or close to it on every map. The real standout here is being able to drop 70 frags against eventual event winners, SK Gaming, in a best of three series. That is absurd. That has got everybody pumped up and talking about this great American talent that can't play at majors. So, I will repeat my views on this, right? Yes, I was the guy that put the report together that eventually led to iBuyPower being banned. I don't even know what to think about it anymore, because on the one hand, I know things about Swag's life that make it especially tragic, and I had no idea it would be a lifetime ban. I don't advocate for lifetime bans for anything, really. I mean, repeat offenders, yes, but the evidence shows this is a one-time deal made by people in the formative years of the game, when everybody was doing the same shit. And when I say everybody, not everybody literally, but a lot of people, and a lot of people got away with it. And we know this, and it's still going on now in Tier 2 and Tier 3, and now it's moved on to cash betting sites. And people, feel comfortable even saying to people, "Hey, you want to throw a game tonight in that tier?" And people go, "Oh, it's just a joke, Richard. Why are you reporting on it? You got tricked, lol." Like as if asking a team to throw a game isn't a heinous enough thing. Okay? Because what if they say yes and go through with it? So I had no idea there would be a lifetime ban. And I've said that there should be a sliding scale. All cases have to be contextual. And in Swag's case, it was kind of put forward that because he was a younger guy and he was led astray by figureheads in the scene, we should be more lenient with him. Now, that might be an argument you want to make. For me, I think if we agree that Swag deserves to be unbanned, we've got to take a look at the bans of all the other guys. So, and I'm going to tell you why people feel so upset about Swag over the others. Okay, so first up, Swag has had like this level of almost like celebrity appeal. There's these people that will happily step out, put their necks on the line with Valve, and say, "Hey, look, we really want to get him unbanned." And I think the first notable instance of this was Jason Lake. Jason Lake, one of the founding fathers of North American Counter-Strike, a guy who loves the game, his integrity and outlook, none of these things can be questioned. He wrote this lengthy open letter to Valve. Now, unfortunately, open letters to Valve aren't going to achieve much. I've written one as well. I wrote one when I was at the Daily Dot saying, let's revise this. And it went nowhere. It fell on deaf ears. So you can see this is Jason Lake talking about Brax. And it says here, look, Braxton was not an adult who was thumbing his nose at the rules while being fully aware of the potential consequences. Braxton was a minor who made a foolish decision for which there was no precedent in the Counter-Strike world. He was young and easily influenced by his older teammates. This is what continues to nag my conscience. A young man succumbed to peer pressure and quickly made a poor decision, having absolutely no idea of the consequences because there was no precedent. In the future, no Counter-Strike player, regardless of age, can make this claim. Everyone now knows the punishment for this crime. However, Braxton did not know. This bothers me. It bothers me as a father. It bothers me as a gamer. I feel in this specific case, justice wasn't served. Yes, the punishment fits the crime, but sometimes there is a unique case that deserves a sincere review. I believe this is that case. Situational clemency brings humanity to any law or rule set. I believe this is that situation. Well, if you're making that argument, then DaZe didn't know that what the consequences were. This was uncharted territory for all of us. I had no idea when I handed all my findings over to Valve, which I slaved over for 6 months, including testimony, betting patterns, skins transactions, PayPal records. This is how much I had to put in for one match. This is why you can't crack the match fixing beast, all right? It's too much work. You would need a dedicated team working round the clock. You would need companies to agree to hand over sensitive information. This cannot be achieved. You would need eyes everywhere. I threw myself into that one case, not because I wanted to show that this was going on. It could have been anybody. That was just the one I had the most evidence for. So, DaZe didn't know the rules. Steel didn't know the rules. Right? Nobody knew what was going to happen. So if you're going to make that argument as the grounds for unbanning Braxton, you got to say the same for DaZed and Steel and AZK. Now, again, I think players were actually led astray here. I don't think your age comes into it. Let's be clear about what happened. All right? Let's be absolutely fucking clear. Players were approached by a bet fixer, a professional bet fixer, a guy who did this repeatedly and routinely. And he said, "Hey guys, do you want to make some money on the side?" And they said, "Yes, we do." Why did the players say that? Because they weren't fucking salaried by iBuyPower. All that work, all that effort, all that practice, the dubious distinction of being the number one team in America and no salary. No salary at all. So a professional match fixer exploited that, exploited all of them, and said, "This is how you can make some money." Now, I don't care if you're fucking 17, I don't care if you're 27, if you're poor and someone offers you money, you are going to think long and hard about taking that money. And this is why I support a lifetime ban for a professional serial match fixer, right? I do not support a ban for any player who is taken advantage of. And this applies to all of them. Now, it got brought up again. Deserto published a letter, another open letter. These open letters just keep coming. So they published this open letter. Again, let's get Brax unbanned. Let's get Brax unbanned. Let's not... The argument has to be, let's revise the whole ban collectively. But look, you know, it's a day that changed the lives of seven young men, but we're only going to talk about one of them, and it's Braxton, because he's younger. And again, this is a foolish hill to die on, you know, because if you accept that people are susceptible to want to make money and will maybe engage in nefarious activities to do so, then that applies to everybody. The suggestions in this open letter by Kevin Hitt over on Deserto are that, you know, the organization at times Braxton Pierce must put up a $10,000 bond that is forfeited if he is caught cheating or match fixing. Well, forfeited to who? Who does it go to? Why would Valve care about this? He's forbidden to communicate with those suspended from the Eye by Power team of 2014. This is a standard thing you see in sports, but it's an absurdist suggestion because, you know, how would that work? Like, let's say Steel and Dazed get back into doing regular events, a topic I'm about to come to. Can he attend those events? Is there a chance of communication? What constitutes communication? Our scene's too small for that to be warranted. He is not allowed to communicate with anyone that owns, facilitates, or sponsors a gambling website that takes bets for the team he plays. That should be the case anyway. I don't have an issue with teams being sponsored, you know, Bet365, you know, EGB, whatever it is. I don't necessarily have an issue with that. I think when players are in direct communication with bettors, people who run betting sites, people who run skin sites, I think this gets incredibly dangerous and murky, and we've seen it. I think players should be expressly forbidden in all of their contracts from talking to these people, because I've seen what it leads to. And create one public service announcement of Valve's choice each year. Now, I like the idea of these guys going around and saying, look what happened to us. We had our careers completely torn apart by this. Definitely don't do it. It's not worth it if you get caught. But equally as well, I think we need to look at the bigger issues. And the bigger issues are this. Why are organizations continually allowed to exploit players? Why are they allowed to take players and make demands of players and not pay them a salary? Why is that allowed? Why are companies signing off on that? Why be saying, hey, that's okay, but, you know, woe betide a player wants to make a fucking dime? I'm not saying match fixing is the way to go. I deplore it. So I dedicate lots of my time looking into it and trying to stamp it out wherever I see it. It's a waste of time. The community don't give a fuck. But here's the thing. These guys were exploited. They were taken advantage of. There was a perfect storm to make them want to throw. Meanwhile, there were players in Europe that were making money, making salaries, doing this on the side, and nobody gave a fuck. We all just kind of like, well, I guess if we can't prove it, we just have to pretend it's not happening. That was the collective agreement. That is the... And there's players out there now. You know who you are, and you know you got away with this. Right? And it's no wonder among the player community there's so much support for Brax. He's young, he's talented, he's a really fucking nice guy. And it breaks my fucking heart to have played a part in him getting banned. But also, that isn't why players support him. Players support him because they all know a player who did it. They probably did it themselves. That's how widespread it was. There was no rules, no laws. There was no indication from Valve. By the way, you get caught doing that, it will be life. There was nothing like that. Which isn't to say you should be fixing fucking matches, because of course you shouldn't. But equally, people were just like, hey, skins, they're worth money now. Wow, we can use this. And the difference between a team not making a salary, being approached by a professional match fixer with ties to some of the biggest match fixers Counter-Strike has ever seen, and a team making a salary and doing well for itself, deciding to throw matches to make more. Which one of these deserves the lifetime ban, if anyone does? It's option B. So I definitely sympathize with Brax 100%, but this movement is hokum. It's bogus. You are fighting for one person when in reality you should be fighting for all of them. Now I'm going to tell you an even darker timeline for the people in I Buy Power, because look, we exist in a world where the majors will always be the most prestigious events. Valve will always put up the most money, give the most support, expect the highest production values. It will be the event that will have the most viewers. It will be the event that means the most to a player, the most to the community. Yes, they are the majors, all right? And maybe one day we get something like the International for CS. No reason it couldn't happen. We're still progressing. We're still evolving. We're about to expand into fucking China. This game is still growing, believe me. So, all of those events will have to be off limits, as long as Valve stick to this lifetime ban viewpoint. And I wish they wouldn't. I've sat with them. I've asked them. I begged. I had a meeting with them. And I tried to get out there and fight for just a review of maybe the lifetime ban being too harsh. They were resolute. They wouldn't move. All these open letters, all this bullshit. It's I don't think it's going to do anything, you know, and it's admirable to try, but I believe you should be trying on all the players' behalves. Now, here's the darker timeline, right? These guys, Brax can play. Brax can get picked up and play for a team. He's good enough. He's always going to have that option. I mean, he's always going to have that option because he's a phenomenal talent. And ESL now can fund events that are as big prize money wise as a major. Other orgs are going to do that. You know, we're hearing all the time, Refresh want to make their own tournament circuit. This organization wants to make its own tournament circuit. We've got people moving into North America. We've got failed attempts like the PEA. It's when, right? When a big tournament circuit comes along that can offer crazy amounts of money beyond what's going to get put up at the majors, then Brax can join a team and it'll be worth a while for that team to just have him on the books. So far, Valve haven't said to Cloud9, you're now forbidden from playing in majors because you used swag as a fucking substitute. They're not going to say that. Valve will never overreach. They will never overstep. They know what happens outside of their sphere of influence needs to be left organic. It's why Valve are one of the best developers to have involved in an esports scene. They're just a little bit too hands-off sometimes. Which, when you see what Blizzard are doing, when you see what Riot are doing, Valve have got the right idea, if anyone has. Right? Nobody's perfect, but I'd rather do it the Valve way than the fucking Riot way. But Brax will always be able to play. This is where it gets problematic. Do you remember when the ban first happened? Steel was an observer. He's the best observer in the game. That isn't even his strongest suit. Right? That isn't even Josh's strongest suit. I've done casting with the guy. He's got a phenomenal mind for the game. He was the captain and strat caller for the most successful North American Counter-Strike Source team. Dynamic. People forget this part of history. Josh was a fucking legend. You know? He's got a mind. He's got a brain. Me and him used to... I'd do play-by-play. He'd do fucking color. Everything he said was so insightful and smart, but he was funny. He could have been a caster. He could have been a top-level caster, but he was just too good as a player. He kept on going. Now, when he moved into observing because he thought, you know, well, I'm good at it. There was a niche there. We had so many tournaments where the fucking camera work was absolute garbage. You know, this is what he did. He moved into that area. It was fucking brilliant. Everybody wanted to use him as the number one observer. He could command a decent fee. Good for him, right? But now he can't do that. Do you remember when the ban first came in? Everybody distanced themselves and said, well, we can't have him involved. He's a match fixer. What's he going to potentially do as an observer? You know, well, he wasn't allowed. His career, even in that area, was over. His career was over. And that's ludicrous. So then on top of that, what else can he do? Well, turns out he can't be a coach. Valve said you can't compete in majors if you've got a coach. So that was denied him. People didn't want to use him as a commentator anymore. People didn't want him front and center. He's only just got past that. Have you watched Josh's stream? You ever seen Steel's stream? Same for Dazed, by the way. Did you ever watch that first year when they were banned? And how sad it was, and how clearly depressed they were, and how miserable they were. And I couldn't watch it, mate. I used to tune in and watch them struggle and suffer. And it was fucking awful to watch. Josh has definitely been fucking depressed. Dazed has been right down there in the doldrums. These guys don't deserve that, you know? Like, it was horrible. Yes, actions have to have consequences, but there was no light at the end of the tunnel. For the first fucking year, they didn't even know whether, you know, it was ongoing. It was an ongoing ban. It wasn't a permanent ban. It was an indefinite ban. Well, indefinite means an indefinite amount of time. There is no end, potentially, but equally, there's no... It doesn't mean it necessarily lasts forever. That was a special kind of cruelty in and of itself, to not clarify immediately that we meant life. But Josh tried to go into Overwatch. That didn't work. Josh tried to try other things, make tutorial videos. You know, it's just fucked up how everyone walked away from him. Now... It's fine. It's been the requisite amount of time. I think anybody who's sensible can say, look, 2 fucking years? Can these guys get back in the game? Haven't they paid the price? I think they have. And Dazed, you know, gets a gig at ESL, right? Commentating. Everybody loves it. The guy is a fucking brain and a half. This guy understands the game in a way few people do. But he can't be in a major. We can't put him on an analysis desk at a major. He can't be involved with any tournament that Valve are officially involved with. Neither can Steel, observing or on the desk. He should be on the desk. I want these guys on the desk. I want to work with these guys. I want to see them involved in the scene. That's just being honest. That might be a stupid thing to say. That might be a kiss of death. I don't fucking know. But it's the truth. It's what I feel in my heart. Those guys, you know, if Pete... fucking Rose can get trotted out, why can't these guys, you know? And that's the thing. You look at Dazed and the work he did over at ESL, phenomenal, right? You look at what Steel just did at the summit, definitely brought something to the broadcast, made a thread saying he was looking for feedback, but he's always going to be doing these smaller events because no one wants to take the gamble and risk upsetting Valve. And this is what I mean when I say that the Free Brax movement is ridiculous compared to the special kind of hell these guys live in, because they can't even commentate. They can't even analyze. And as they get older, they don't have years on their side like Brax does. You know, they've already passed their best as players. They probably had those 2 years that they've had taken away from them as their last chance, their last hurrah. And they'll be good. They'll be decent. It's like riding a bike. But they're fucked now. That's it. They'll never be in a top-level team, probably. No one calls up, oh, we need a sub. Let's get Steel. Let's get Days. No one says that. You know? And they're deprived all of the coaching gigs. So... we've got this tiny little window to use their amazing expertise, and nobody wants to go out and bat for them. Nobody wants to fight for their right. Swag, it's a heartbreaking story, you know? Like, I get it, but it's got to be all. It's got to be everybody. You know, look at what they just did at the summit with Steel, right? Like, they made this video, and this must have been really hard for Josh, dude. They made a joke about it saying, yeah, he did this video, don't fix matches. And he talked to a little kid and he, you know, was telling Timmy, you know, don't fix matches. And, you know, it even made it on a fucking Kotaku esports vertical, right? And here he is talking to the kid, a PSA, and everyone's laughing and joking about it and saying it's great content and stuff. And it is good to joke about it. But equally, his entire career now is summed up by this one fucked up thing he did. Same for Dazed. Dazed was one of the best in-game leaders in Counter-Strike Source, if not the best that North America produced. Always associated with successful teams. Yeah, he was the gatekeeper as well. You had to kiss the ring if you wanted to get anywhere in North America. He knows that. But It is what it is, right? And he's not a bad fucking guy by any stripe of the imagination. Josh, as I said, in-game leader of the most successful team in North American Counter-Strike Source. Super cool dude. Could have done anything. Can't now. Gone. One mistake, and we got to keep on hammering it and banging on about it, because it's like it's this like watershed moment in Counter-Strike. It's the moment we did become professional, but that shouldn't come at the cost of player careers. You know, they've lost a lot. So here's the kind of final thoughts on this ridiculous issue. You know, there's some people have just gone through into other games. Like AZK is now an Overwatch player for Team Liquid, and again, no one's out there free AZK. You know, he just moved on quietly, and I guess he found his feet in a new game. And Blizzard have a rule where you can't talk about the history from other games, so you'll never hear on a broadcast how he was associated with Counter-Strike. You'll never hear that. They don't like that. They don't want anybody who comes from another game would be talked about in Overwatch. That's their rule. So he's probably in the clear, right? I mean, nobody really seems to give two fucks. And again, there's no free AZK. What I'm saying is these guys should be just have it all laid out, right? Casey Foster, who played a bigger part in all of this than any player, right? He was the owner of the team that did it. Think about that, right? You're a player, owner. Think about who has to be a bit more responsible here. No one gives a fuck he started Boomio. No one's saying we're going to boycott that. No one's saying, oh, you know, he represents everything that's bad and wrong with Counter-Strike. Some people get to have careers. And it's this inconsistency that fucking infuriates me. It makes me so angry that people will go to the wall for swag, not for these guys over here. It's the same shit. Meanwhile, some people who just walked away, you know, well, I guess that's me done. I'm just going to go over here and make a fuck ton of money and still be involved, you know, with the scene. Nobody has a problem with it. This inconsistency is outrageous. It's outrageous. And that's why when I see these little fucking hashtags and everything else, it just sickens me, dude. Here's the reality. I want swag and banned. In fact, no. I just want the review. I just want to know there's an appeals process. That would satisfy me. If there was an appeal and it was upheld, I'd still feel better about it. I'd get sleep at night, because at least I would know that there is now an appeals process for things that this happens to. Not just some draconian, authoritarian, you are banned, you are out of the game, fuck yourself stance. Which I that's an injustice to me. That isn't how justice is done. That shouldn't be how it's done. It's not how it's done in real sports. It shouldn't be how it's done in Counter-Strike. But if you have ever used the hashtag free swag, then spare a fucking thought for Steel, spare a fucking thought for Dazed, spare a fucking thought for AZK, because all these people did the same thing, and they were fucked in the same way. Yes, maybe the younger guy gets some time shaved off, right? Maybe. But I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I think it's great that people will defend one player, but it's got to be all or nothing, guys, really, on this issue. And if you care about it, and I know people have their opinions, and I know some of you guys are going to be like, oh, but they stole two AWP Asimovs from me. Yeah, it fucking sucks, dude. It fucking sucks that gambling could have been a great thing, and people fucked it up with greed and pettiness. Abso-fucking-lutely. But equally, by the same token, if you've never made a mistake in your life, then I respect that stance. But I know you have, and I know you've expected clemency. I know you've expected that one thing you did shouldn't define who you are moving forward. Yeah, and maybe I can identify with that a little bit after what happened at DreamHack. It's all I fucking hear about now. You choked the player, you choked the player, you choked the player. Yeah, also for 10 fucking years, I slaved, trying to get people paid, trying to help people with contracts, trying to get esports promoted, but now I'm the player choker. So maybe this is about me in a way. I don't fucking know. But here's what I do know. It's not fucking fair for everybody to be in one player's corner and ignoring the others. I want to see Dazed work, and I want to see Steel work. And I want to see AZK feel like he can come back if he wants to. I want this chapter to have an ending that makes sense. Not this weird situation we're in now. So, there you go. There's my thoughts on it.